The come, Lord Jesus, in the name of God, Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer. On a sunny Saturday afternoon last month, a number of us from Redeemer joined a group of fellow Baltimoreans in Harlem Park, the neighborhood just south of Sandtown Winchester, which drew national attention 2 years ago after Freddie Gray's death. Our task for a couple of hours that Saturday afternoon was to walk down the streets and sidewalks in groups of 5 to 10 people, led by a Harlem Park resident, to meet folks who live there, listen to their concerns, and ask what they need to make Harlem Park better. Armed with yellow flyers about an upcoming neighborhood community meeting and light blue pamphlets about a second chance jobs movement called Turnaround Tuesday that creates job opportunities and prepares returning and unemployed citizens to re-enter the workforce, we knocked on doors, stood by steps, and sat on stoops, inviting conversation and listening. One man who answered the door came down his front steps to talk with us, shortly followed by his curious 4-year-old son, who was eating a snack. They have lived in Harlem Park for several years. In soft, slow, measured tones, he talked about how discouraging it was and is to live beside empty, boarded-up residences on either side of him, extending up and down his block. He had some good things to say about the school across the street that his son attends, but wasn't aware of any programs going on after school. He said he mostly kept to himself, but he knew folks who might be interested in our blue pamphlets, so he took some. After about 10 minutes of conversation, we thanked one another and said goodbye, and our small group continued down the sidewalk. A young woman, speed walking with her backpack and earplugs in, slowed down and stopped to engage with us. We learned she was a nursing student, working hard to finish her degree. Her bright smile grew brighter as she pulled out her phone to show us a photograph of her grandmother, a powerful force and positive influence in her life. One man we spoke with said he'd never learned how to save and invest money when he was younger, and he wished schools would teach kids around town how to do this sooner. Another talked about a nearby rec center that he has seen stand empty for too long. And a third just stared out into space, his eyes indicating that although physically he was present, his heart, mind and soul were someplace else, far, far away. That evening, as I reflected back on the afternoon and those 2 hours, I became encaged in another conversation with myself and my maker. And it went something like this. What am I doing knocking on doors in West Baltimore? I didn't even know where Harlem Park was until today. And what the bleep am I doing inviting other folks and parishioners to come with me? Aren't those the neighborhoods that, growing up as a kid, my parents would have never set foot in, much less bring me to? I mean, I grew up in Timonium on a tree-lined street of split-level houses and manicured lawns, and now I work in Homeland. What am I doing hanging out and talking with community organizers and residents of Harlem Park and Sandtown Winchester to address issues of safety and violence in our city? I don't know a thing about community organizing. This isn't what I thought I'd be doing when I signed my contract and came on board Redeemer. What is going on? As I continued reflecting, thinking, and praying, I realized this feeling I was feeling strangely familiar, this feeling of being called, of of being drawn into, in spite of myself and my own questioning. This feeling of being attracted, of being compelled, of being intrigued, of being pulled into deeper and deeper. Last time I felt anything similar to this tugging, this pulling, was all around going to seminary and discerning a call to serve as an ordained minister and a priest. A priest, my former Roman Catholic consciousness questioned. You mean women can be priests? And as I dug deeper and wrestled with my thoughts and questions of why and what's going on and for what, I came to a point of clarity, of clear seeing. It's that Palestinian Jew from 2,000 years ago. Yep, that itinerant preacher from Nazareth. And all that stuff he said, and all the things he said were important, and the way he lived his life. See, I still claim to be one of his followers. I claim to be one of these human beings, 2,000 years later, who believes in the things he stood for, lived for, and died for. Love your neighbor as yourself, and neighbor being the broadest concept of that word, of using power to serve, of giving voice to the voiceless, of being and seeking relationship with the other, of meeting people and seeing people where they are and aligning yourself with folks on the margins, the edges, the least, the vulnerable, the lost. Not only that, but I live in Baltimore City in the year 2017. Now, if I was a Christian living in X, then I might be compelled to do Y. Or if I was a Christian living in A, I might be compelled to do B. I sometimes wonder if I'd been a Christian living in Nazi Germany in the 1930s, would I have followed my Lord by providing shelter to my Jewish neighbors? Would I have followed my Lord by resisting Hitler's anti-Christian, anti-human policies, or not? How would I have lived my calling as a Christian then? We human beings are rooted. We are born and live and die in specific historical geographical contexts. And so mine, yours, ours, is Baltimore City in the 21st century. And it doesn't take a rocket scientist to determine the issues that Jesus would care about here and now. Poverty, racism, addiction, injustice, senseless violence. Go out and heal, he would say. Spread the good news, he'd exhort us. Proclaim liberty to the captives, the day of salvation to the Lord. Reach out, connect, touch, listen. Because nothing is beyond the touch of God. The whole world, all neighborhoods, all peoples, all kingdoms and realms and races belong to God. And the only thing that separates us from the other is ourselves. This, in fact, lies at the heart of our gospel reading today, which has the Pharisees and the Herodians, two separate sects with religious and political power and authority, combining their forces to try and trap Jesus. They ask him whether or not it's lawful for Jews to pay taxes to the Roman emperor, thinking they pinned him in a corner. For him to say, yes, it's lawful, would put him in violation of Jewish law and tradition, which proclaims allegiance to no king, no emperor, no ruler but God. For Jesus to say, no, it's not lawful, would pit him against the empire. Jesus' response, give to Caesar what is Caesar's, give to God what is God's, is on first glance seemingly simple and straightforward. Separation of state and temple, workdays and Sabbath, secular and sacred. It's the kind of answer that seems obvious, straightforward, and simple until you really start thinking about it. perhaps have a conversation with yourself and your Maker. As several biblical scholars point out, in the ancient world, there was no concept of a separation of civic and religious life. There was no way to even express that in language. Everything is God's. And if everything is God's, then in all things we are to seek God's will, which entails measuring all things, including systems, policies, programs, by the vision that Jesus has given us of God's rule and kingdom. God's compassion knows no bounds. Jesus' message is that everything belongs to God. Blurring the lines between the sinner and the righteous, the sacred and the profane, heaven and earth. The banquet of the kingdom is open to all, and tax collectors and prostitutes are going ahead of us. Barbara Brown Taylor talks about altars out in the world, altars out in the world. We are called to holy encounters with the other out in the world. To be in relationship with the other is our sacred and holy work. And to stay apart and separate is the temptation. To see and honor our common humanity, to seek and serve Christ in all persons, is our covenant with God and with one another. And in this is our, all of ours, transformation and salvation. Thomas Merton is a 20th century monk, theologian, and mystic, who had a moment of clarity, of clear seeing, of seeing the ultimate reality and truth of who we are at the corner of 4th and Walnut in Louisville, Kentucky. He writes, "I was suddenly overwhelmed with the realization that the idea that our existence of holiness is actually separate from who we are. It was like waking from a dream of separateness. If only everybody could see this reality, but it can't be explained. There is no way of telling people that they are all walking around shining like the sun. It was as if I suddenly saw the secret beauty of their hearts, the core of their reality, the person that each one is in God's eyes. At the center of each of our being is a point of pure truth, a point or spark which belongs entirely to God. This little point is the pure glory of God in us. It's like a pure diamond blazing with the invisible light of heaven. It's in everybody, and if we could see it, we'd see these billions of points of light coming together in the face and blaze of a sun that would make all the darkness and cruelty of life vanish completely." We are called to engage, to reach out, to see, to touch this point of light, this God spark in one another. This is our work, our invitation, and our call. And in this is our transformation and salvation of ourselves, our community, our city, and our world. Amen.